easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city didn't save me.
What are we going to do with the time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That's like on from the future.
Because you can inspire.
In the future, my name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You have failed this city.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on RMD, the Flash edition on Rain Man Digital. You can find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on RMD. And once you find us on iTunes and Stitcher, go ahead and leave us a review. It helps the show out. We're also on Spotify as well. I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me is Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And Stephen Crouch.
What up?
And we will be breaking down and discussing Flash Season 5, Episode 18, Godspeed. The background on why Nora is working with Echo Bard Thawn, as Bob would say. Not Eobard.
It's a bootleg version that somehow the little people are getting ripped off on.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's an inside joke, guys. It was pretty awesome. I guess it's not awesome if I have to say it's an inside joke, right?
Yeah. You should have just left it.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, all right, restart the show. anyways, yeah, so we're going to talk about Godspeed, which I totally thought I had spoiled that for Bobby because I sent him a text. I was like, hey, man, Godspeed's costume's super sick. He's like, I haven't watched it yet. I was like, oh.
I still saw the costume beforehand, so you were good.
Okay, anyway,
don't worry about it. It was just more of don't get in details. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It was like I say that sometimes because I figure Bobby's watched it before I have, right? Because I'm
95%
like,
of the time, yeah.
Yeah, and I like sometimes I'll say stuff and I'm like without thinking about it.
I've done the same with Bob, but he does the inverse where he texts me and starts with, have you watched the episode yet? And then I say no, and then he just leaves it. So start with that.
Yeah, but like... The 90s, is it really 95? I think it's more than 95. I feel like it's like 98. I feel like you watch it the same day it comes out, right?
Sometimes. It just matters how busy I am.
Well, I just always thought you'd seen it before me. Can we just get a slow clap for this episode, though? This was a really good episode.
That's what I said to Bob. I texted him, what was it, Bob? Late last night or early this morning. Uh-huh. He said, holy shit. Like, okay. That was good.
That was really good.
Let me ask you guys this. Is it weird, and Ryan, you've experienced this with Arrow also.
Okay.
I want to see Grant Gustin's airtime this season.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
Because we're not getting a Flash show.
No, we're getting...
Because he's been nerfed at least four times.
Yeah.
Where he's been in a cell, he was there, you know, or they followed somebody else. And this was another week to where he really wasn't in the show a lot. And we've seen that in Arrow where, you know, Stephen Amell has been off doing something else and they're following other people around. And it's just weird for me to think that we're getting like Arrow and Friends and Flash and Friends, yeah. Not getting the Flash.
Which is really interesting too for both, speaking for both shows, seeing as Arrow's ending next season and who knows what's going on with the Flash. So
do you think this is like days off for them that like, hey, come in, we got you for, you know, the first 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes, we can film that in one day and you can get out of here?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe it's a short day for them. I mean, obviously they go into it knowing this is a Nora-centric episode or whatever, which if I would have told you that this was a Nora-centric episode about 17 episodes ago, you'd probably been like,
pissed.
Fuck. But
it worked because of the lead up.
It worked,
but
yeah.
I think this is... Both Flash and Arrow are a victim of the things we talked about in the past. Of they have such a large cast at this point that if you don't delve into each character to some depth, then it's like, well, why the hell is this character
but
even
I,
exist?
I think you could do that by pairing them up. We saw Ralph and, you know, Barry go. You know, you see Barry and Iris, Barry and Cisco. You know,
we saw Barry and Nora.
Yeah, but it really wasn't. No, it was Nora and her puppet friend.
Yeah. I think you're right.
No, I mean the episode where Barry like kind of mentored and trained.
Oh, Laura. Okay. I thought you were talking about this one.
No.
I just think that maybe, you know, clearly the stars of the shows have to have a day off, but at the same time,
way more than any other season I can remember.
Does he have anything else going on in his schedule?
Yeah, hot Asian wife.
Yeah, he has a super hot Asian wife.
She's pretty good looking. But I would be like,
hey, look, guys, so like I'm going to take the day off and bang my hot Asian wife. So
and not come.
Yes, and not come. I'm speaking from like Barry's. I'm sure he jizzes. I don't know. Oh. I do. I just didn't in that situation. But if you stay right there, I'll show you that I can.
Oh,
right on
great.
Your face. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
All right, focus.
Anyways, I think you're right though, Bob. This whole season, even for speaking for both shows, it is effectively been that this season for both shows and even this episode of Arrow.
Oh, it's been that way. I can't speak for Legends, but it's even been that way recently on Supergirl. It feels like, again,
we had two Lex-centric episodes where she wasn't really in it.
Which I'm so fine weird. With because those were really strong episodes in a lot of ways. But
Only thing Grant Gustin's got going on is the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Really?
Okay. I didn't even know he was in it, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me. That's cool, but I still contend. I think it's because all of these shows have gone so wide with their cast that they got too many characters.
Yeah, there's too much going on, and I just don't think enough people get enough screen time. And which sucks because if you really think about it, who should be the main focus of these episodes?
The one on the title.
Yes. So I think that's the biggest downfall this season, and even some of the other seasons that we've seen this happen. And it just sucks because it's like, well, I want to see Grant as the Flash in the red suit. That's the whole point. We're at that point now in season, five. He should be in the suit every episode or every other episode,
He didn't get in it once this episode.
None. Zero times. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know, man. In fact,
I don't even think we... Well, there was one photo, I think, in on a screen when Nora was sifting through stuff. But other than that, there was no Flash suit present. In the museum, I don't even think they showed the statue of the Flash.
It's weird, right? I guess I'm just... I want...
Flash.
And I guess, too, also, it scares me a little bit with Arrow ending next season that... We still kind of haven't heard what's going on with Flash, so it's...
It got re-upped, did it not, Bob?
Yeah, but so did Arrow. Yeah. I'm just saying, in general, we know, especially after this episode, we know that something happens in Crisis.
Has to happen. Mm-hmm.
Because he had that whole video scene going on where, he's feeling bad for his daughter there.
Yeah.
So...
Anyways, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We've got, what, 3-4 episodes left?
It's
22. So four. So, we'll see where we go, but who knows? All right. So with that, we're going to jump right into the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to go right into it, guys. We don't have news. That was, I guess, speculation.
No news is good news.
That's yes. Question mark. Anyway, episode 18, Godspeed. This one was directed by Danielle Panabaker, which I didn't know until I read that.
the first sign that the show's ending, they let everybody direct.
Yes. Written by Judah. Why can't I get her name right? I've said it like 18 times. Judalina Neera and Kelly Wheeler. So let's start off with the biggest thing that we got in this episode. And we got the exact reason why Nora was working with Thawne. I actually am okay with this.
Everything about it worked for me.
It made sense, right? And I think that's why this was such a heartbreaking on both sides for both Barry and Nora. But I understood this. And I think at the end of the day, even Barry says it too. He's like, I even understand why you would do this, because let's think about Barry and what he did. He went back to save his mother. He went back and then he went back to see his mom and dad together. He has done this before. We have seen him. He can't fault her for thinking that way, right?
It's poetic the same way that the prequels in a lot of ways were poetic to the original trilogy, right? It there was a rhyme there. She did the same thing her father did for a similar reason and even turned to the same dude for mentorship and training.
Lord of the Rings?
Not that trilogy. The only trilogy that matters.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay, that one matters.
So you can sit here and you can actually understand her doing what she did, and yeah. I think that's the tough part. With this whole situation.
We have to get more explanation on the chip, right?
Yeah, that has to happen. It has to happen.
Well, what do you mean? I felt like it was booking nice and neat. Like,
what was the reason why?
What that Nora put it in her?
No, that yeah. Iris put it in.
That
her.
Iris put it in Nora. Mm-hmm. I think it was just that she didn't want to. Reading between some lines there, I think she just wanted to suppress it and not see Nora grow up and then do the same thing Barry did and then lose Nora.
Well, that's also
so. Does this mean that the cure doesn't work? Because why wouldn't you just give her the cure?
Yeah, because it's that. So. Here's the other thing that I think I don't know if a lot of people caught. And clearly, Nora has no idea that her dad is the Flash.
Right.
So in that whole segment, what I think it is, and this is clearly on Iris. Iris put that chip in her. And again, I'm reading between the lines. Because she, A, didn't want her to go down the same path that Barry did. B, she didn't want to lose her daughter by her running off and being a superhero. C, she didn't want to have that thought in her head of, okay, my daughter could die. She could. Yeah. So she did that to not only protect her, but at the same time, let's look at it the other way. That's pretty fucked up that you would telling.
But if she doesn't ever find out the truth about
her dad,
Barry Allen, then she would never go to that next logical step that she ultimately ended up going down, which is she was already obsessed with Flash and speedsters.
Right.
The minute she made that connection, then look what happened. It was going to happen one way or the other once she found out. I think Nora was just trying to make sure, her mom was just trying to make sure she never found out.
Yeah, and I there's another one that you could literally look at both sides as far as Iris's decision to do it and then why she did it.
Well, how would you react if you found out that your parents somehow dampened you of a power I mean, even take it to something more realistic.
Okay. Give me a more realistic. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not, your dad's not your dad.
Yeah. Or you're adopted.
And they just didn't tell you because it's not worth it because you're my son.
I have a situation. So on my dad's side, my dad is actually not related to my grandfather. So I found this out when I was like 19. My grandfather on my dad's side is this legendary figure that my uncle and my dad have painted as like, you know, this awesome person, right? And I find out that that's not my dad's actual real dad.
Does it matter?
It didn't. And exactly. I think, so for me, that situation, which they hid from me for so long, it didn't mean, I told him, I was like, that doesn't matter to me. Like, it's not a thing. So I think, that situation's different. This is, I have super speed. And the speed force, and it's being suppressed by the one person that I trust the most, my mother.
Let's do this. Your dad was a mob boss that has changed his name. Parisian protective custody, and you didn't know about his past.
That's probably for your safety that you don't know, because if you knew, it could jeopardize your life.
I'm trying to think of something more realistic.
I get it. I see what you're doing. One's a double-edged sword. I think I would feel... I would feel weird on both ends. It's still my dad, so I'm not going to hate my dad.
And you've grown up with him, and you know who he is.
Right.
But she didn't grow up with Barry.
Right. So I think this one's tough because she's grown up with her mom, and her mom has clearly been – she feels like her mom has been mean to her and suppressed her. And
by the way, she hasn't been as cunty as the first five episodes kind of made her out to be.
Right. Right. I agree. So I think at the end of the day – I think it's she's reacting a little overboard. But I still can understand her being upset. Like, you know, your dad was the Flash. You were never told that your dad was the Flash. And then also, P.S., you have powers too that your mom is suppressing because she doesn't want you to be like your dad.
Or don't, maybe not like your dad, but maybe the weight of the
world.
Of the world, yeah. And feeling that you have to protect. And
but, live, I mean, up, like, live up to your father's.
But at the end of the day.
Because imagine that if you're like, all right, cool. You're Barry Allen's kid. He did all these wonderful things, and you have the same power. Yeah, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine the weight or the pressure of living up to this legend?
Yeah, imagine somebody like Michael Jordan's son, right?
Who quit college ball because he wasn't his dad.
I think at the end of the day, man, like, anyone that has superpowers, and obviously we're speaking fictitiously here, but...
Say for yourself. I just ran and got a cheeseburger.
Did you get us fries or?
No, I ran out of hands.
Wow.
That means.
I was like, you can get a burger in one hand and fries in the other.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Anyways, I'm not even going to go there. I just feel like you are almost, I guess, obligated to do something. If your parents were superheroes, aren't you kind of obligated to do something on top of that? Like
a goddamn thing. You're not obligated in this life to do anything.
Okay, so, okay, you have super strength. You're not obligated to go out and fight crime?
Oh.
So you're just going to sit at home and super strength your dick and beat off?
If that's what you want to do. You
look,
have
I'm fucking very good at opening jars.
Deb asked me all the time to open the pickles. You're not obligated in this world. You don't owe people shit. So, no.
You're speaking this. I think the problem here with this situation is that we can't get on this level of thinking because there is no such thing as superheroes.
Well, it doesn't. So
hold on, Bob. Oh. You could be a mad genius, like literally born with Einstein intelligence. That doesn't mean that you are obligated to now go solve cancer and all this other shit.
What did Stephen Hawking do?
He died.
He's fake.
He's fake. Fake news. But you're not obligated. You should not have to bear the weight of societal pressure or what they think you should be.
So, okay, so how many geniuses do you think sit at home and do nothing?
Probably a lot more than you think.
I doubt it.
I don't think everybody has the drive. Like, it doesn't matter whether you have powers or not. It's the drive of what you want to do.
Yeah, it's your life and choose to live it how you want.
And I just don't think there's a moral responsibility to go out and save people.
100%.
Whether, because I think it
you pull just, up your bootstraps and save yourself.
Jesus. But wow. I just think there's, you know, different makes of people.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's what makes the fabric of society work.
And I think that's where we get into the whole vigilante versus superhero talk. Those are the different makes of people. When you're given the situation or a power or whatever, it's how you use it. It's the going good or going bad or just not giving a fuck. I just think when a lot of people are forced into those situations that you might not know what the choice is. And maybe she didn't understand whether Nora would be good. I mean, because look at it. How many bad speedsters have we had? How many good speedsters have we had? You know, it's about 50-50, the light and the dark side of this force.
Yeah.
You know, from that other trilogy.
I don't think as a mother, though, she ever was concerned about her daughter being bad. It was more like, I already lost my husband to this nonsense. I'm not losing my daughter.
And I completely agree, but I'm just saying in general, don't know the way people go. Because like you said, oh, cool, I'm a crazy smart dude, let me go cure cancer. Or I'm a crazy smart dude, watch me fucking rip off all these people with scams.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it before. I clearly, if I had any type of powers, would be a bad guy. Like, let's be completely honest. But I think...
you say that. Like, you're like, if I clearly had any powers, I'd be the passive dude that's not doing a damn thing.
Nah, see, if I had superpowers, I'd be the super rich guy because I fucking went ahead and stole all that money. I think at the end of the day, I can understand both sides of this coin as far as her putting the chip in her. I think the other thing that I totally understand is Iris letting her out. I think I understood that too as well. You know, she's still naive. And I can.
Ooh, Iris is naive?
Nora.
Oh.
And I think that is why Iris had that decision to let her out. she clearly doesn't understand the gravity of what and who she's talking. She should. But who she's dealing with as far as Eobard Thawne. And I think Iris's decision to let her out made sense to me.
Yeah.
But as much as that made sense, Barry's decision to fucking send her back made sense too as well.
Everything about the writing of this episode was so on point with the character development that we've seen thus far and the character arcs, because Iris has come full circle and Barry's come full circle in an opposite direction.
Yeah, and I think with Barry's, I honestly can tell you guys that I did not think he would boot her back. And watching him do that was, you know, I was like, whoa, wow.
It's one of both of those characters, both Iris and Barry this episode, showed some of the most tremendous growth as characters, and not necessarily growth in a positive way, one way or the other, but look at where Barry would have done it, like the mistakes Barry would have made in the past. He made a very deliberate and decisive decision.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to give it much thought. Like, he made a strong
decision.
This
shit ain't up for vote. She's gone.
She's gone.
I just think that you're right, Steve. I think that old Barry would have
tried to work with her.
Tried to work with it.
Rationalize it and figure out a way to, oh, we can change her.
But
we
just
can do this.
His reaction is like, how many times did you go back? You know, couple, five, six. Yeah, fuck you, you're gone.
Yeah, I think that
this is more, now you have a relationship with this dude.
Yeah, and what I thought was great about that scene was just the fact that he still understood. Even though he took her back, he took her back to the future, and
another trilogy
that means something.
But out of all of the situations we've seen Barry just make horrible, horrible decisions that we're all like, you know, you didn't learn anything. All of that has culminated in this episode where he didn't make the same choices he made in the past. He went the opposite direction and was very firm in his decision.
He was. And it, like Bobby said, there was no decision-making process. He made that tough decision
judge,
right
jury,
after
and yeah. executioner.
He judged dreaded her
he
ass.
He did.
Another movie that should have been a trilogy.
Yeah.
I think that at the end of the day, I think that scene was so powerful for me just because of how he understood. And Grant Gustin's acting in that scene
so good.
Was fucking phenomenal.
The tears behind his eyes as he was asking her how many times that she went back and explaining, like, I get it. But fuck you, like top notch acting.
It was solid. And I think even Nora's acting was off the chain, especially too when he landed her back in 2049.
Yeah.
She played the please dad, don't do this.
Yeah.
So well.
The last few episodes leading up to this, even sitting in the cell and, you know, saying, oh, dad, no. And then, you know, Iris coming in like, mom, like, it was genuine. It felt like they were daughter and mother and daughter and father.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, I understand both decisions. Iris's decision and Barry's decision. You could tell that it physically hurt Barry to do that.
Yeah.
But it was the right call.
You think there's going to be fallout between Iris and Barry now?
It's got to be fallout through everybody.
Yeah, everyone's got to be pissed off about this entire situation.
To some extent, yeah. But, I mean, you could see it on their faces too, even when Sherlock came kind of clean and they were getting on his case.
That was something I wanted to talk about, because Bobby and I both had the same reaction. Fuck them for getting mad at him.
And he's basically said your anger is misplaced, and he wasn't wrong. Like, I did what a detective does. I gather the facts. I vet the facts, and I only come forward with a judgment.
When I had the 100% conclusion. I think, how can you get mad at him about that? Like, okay, he's clearly working a case that he hasn't told anybody about, all right? But at the same time, that's what detectives do.
Yeah.
They don't tell anybody.
You got to keep the facts close to the vest until you have a case.
He could have told them about it, and then it could have been completely wrong. And now you have egg on your face the complete other way.
And now you've put bad juju out amongst the crowd of people. And I also thought Dibney handled that situation exceptionally well, too, because he just kind of sat there, listened, and as a detective himself, he understood, but he took a moment and said, you know what, why don't you give us a minute alone And that's a, again, 180 degrees from the Disney yeah. we first experienced on the show.
Well, we get this little like 2% of douche that pops up every now and then, like a couple episodes when he
but
was helping.
But it used to be the inverse of that.
Yeah, like when he was with Cisco trying to like. So I, at the end of the day here, fuck them for getting mad at Sherlock, because I think that actually really pissed me off.
Like, it made me hate the characters at that time yeah. because we spent 5 years with these people and, you know, they want evidence. They want full truths. And then somebody gives them one and they're like, yeah, fuck you. Why don't you tell us before now? Because you wouldn't have believed me.
Well, and it was interesting, though, too, because the other, you know, Cisco did not speak up. And neither did what's her name?
Caitlin.
She didn't speak up either. But the look on her face said everything that she could have said verbally. She just the body language alone, and it was well acted by all of them.
I say this, I think every fucking year we get Tom Cavanaugh playing a complete different version of himself, but he has a way of starting off just we don't like him, and then just making us actually kind of like dig the character that he's playing. It doesn't matter what version he's fucking playing of himself.
This was good.
Yeah, this
turned
was,
out to be good.
Yeah, and I think we were all the first episode. Like, ugh,
for several.
Yeah, we're like, Sherlock. I say this every damn season, and I should know by now that if he plays another version of himself, it's probably going to end up, I'm going to be like, fuck, I like this guy. But he did this the right way. I mean, maybe not the timing of him, like, he might have should have waited a couple minutes and let Nora come clean, but he just fucking went for it, and because she was clearly getting ready to say.
It was better for him to jump the gun and throw it out on Front Street than to see if she was going to do it herself, because depending on how she presented the situation, it wouldn't have had the same impact. It wouldn't have been received the same way by Team Flash, and it would have given maybe her an opportunity to make it less important, I guess is the word.
I don't know how you make that less important. By the way, Dad, you know that dude that killed your mom? I've been talking to him like for like the last 6 months.
Because he cut through all the bullshit and took the emotion out of it and said, here's the facts. She would have tried to negotiate and, you know, whatever. There wasn't that with Sherlock, because it couldn't have been that. He just presented the facts as they were.
Yeah, I think that is one of the most upsetting things I've had happen on this show.
It's like the first 40 seconds of the damn show, too.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so in the Arrowverse, we have this real fucking problem with telling the truth. We have this real fucking problem with people presenting facts and like the whole nine. And now
we get it.
And then we get it. And y'all want to fucking freak out about it? Like, he should have been a fucking hero standing there saying this.
And I think that's kind of the beauty of the dialogue that was written for him in that scene, unless he ad-libbed it. It kind of turns all that on its head, where we've watched that time and time again, episode after episode, season after season, and here it was the opposite of what we'd ever seen before.
Yeah. It's kind of shitty, to be completely honest. It's kind of shitty, and I feel like he didn't quite deserve that reaction that he got, and I'm hoping that this next episode that's rectified, because that was kind of...
Well, yeah, and the irony being that they've all hidden all of this, all these things, all these times, kept secrets, didn't tell the truth,
right.
Whatever, and he did it for the right reasons and then gets lambasted for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's fucking shit on. Stupid. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Godspeed, but first, a quick break.
Against Supergirl, all right? Test run against Supergirl.
Are we just supposed to pretend like we don't hear him?
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
is the UK's second most common STI. The number of cases of the new antibiotic-resistant strain is slowly on the rise.
Yeah, I like how, like, we're being attacked by measles, polio, and now a super, super gonorrhea strain.
I'm not even gonna
try. How can we weaponize this and give it to AOC, Jenny McCarthy, and Kim Jong-un?
I will infect an entire nation. We will defeat North Korea by giving them gonorrhea.
Thomas, I think you're the perfect soldier. You're the, like, the STI Rambo, because you like men and women. You could just
leave me behind enemy lines.
Yeah, we'll just drop you there with no condoms. I'm like, get to it.
You are our Captain America.
You're our gonorrhea soldier.
This mission, should I choose to accept it?
Our super gonorrhea soldier.
Jesus.
It's time to send in our super soldier, everybody. You guys remember Vietnam? Yeah. We're gonna do it all over again, but with gonorrhea this time. Send Thomas in. He needs air support over. Find all the loosest sluts in downtown Phoenix and bring them on board the airplane.
I'm going to need a bottle of Viagra, 6 cases of Gatorade.
What about the Navy SEALs, sir? What about the Navy SEALs? No. We need Trixie, Cindy, and Lola from around the corner. Thomas is the general. He will lead the charge with the STI invasion. Sir, they don't have gonorrhea. Thomas!
Yeah.
We need you to go ahead and infect these sluts, whores, ladies, soldiers! We have just found our inside man.
Mr. President, it would be my honor
to be inside men.
To do it all.
I gotta make sure you're fully prepared. Whip your deck out. I wanna make sure there's some discharge there. Come on. It's not gay. Let me touch it.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
The fall of communism and the dissolution of the Soviet Union,
yeah.
And of course DS9 using elements of the Cold War to continue that political thought and bring in the idea of occupation, which was also very closely related to the events that took place in the 80s with the Soviets and the Middle East. This is what Star Trek does and has always done so well. Even when you look at the original series, despite there being a growing trend to talk trash about its politics, the politics at that time were still progressive, though. So you can say all you want about the 60s version of the original series and how the politics, you know, are shameful at moments. But at that time, that social commentary was very, very progressive. We have just evolved more since then.
Yeah.
So Star Trek has always been about that.
Star Trek from the Holodeck, exclusively on Rain Man Digital.
End simulation.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
All right, guys, we are back. And if you guys aren't aware, you can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Just search DC on RMD and subscribe to the DC on RMD main feed, which includes all of our DC-related discussions and reviews, including the all-new Doom Patrol Edition, that new show that's out. And I think I haven't watched it, but I've heard it's pretty good.
It's actually excellent, and it's part of our expansion of going to this DC on RMD. If you guys haven't seen on our Facebook feed, we just showed the teaser for Swamp Thing, and somebody in this room got a boner for it.
Everyone in this room got a boner for it.
And we will be doing that over the summer. So, you know, we're expanding our universe.
Yeah,
we're beyond this DC show. So go ahead and subscribe and listen in.
We're trying to hit everything now. By the way, Swamp Thing looked fucking amazing. I can't
wait. That first, I tweeted about that first 5 seconds.
Nobody, you have seven followers. Nobody saw it.
I'm just saying that opening shot going over the water, the cinematography and just the mood that was set was amazing. And what surprised me, even though I saw a still image of it, when he comes up out of that water and his eyes turn red, it's like, oh shit, yeah, they did it.
Jesus, dude. I think he just came in his pants. Anyway,
so that's,
let's talk about the show we're actually reviewing.
Yeah, well, just letting you guys know that it will be, I think it starts May 31st, and we will be reviewing that once those come out. So,
all right, guys.
All kinds of new content.
Let's talk about Godspeed. First thing I want to bring up is, holy shit, this suit looks sick.
Best suit.
Best, I agree.
Whoa.
Yeah, I totally agree. Wow. I actually 100% agree, because when I first saw it, I don't know why the white suit, like, stands out so well, but man, it looks fucking good, dude. And it looks very, very close to the comic book version, almost identical.
That's good.
And I think that's and I think that's a big testament for us here on these shows, is that when they do a new character and they pull fucking straight from the source material, I think we all get super hyped about it. Like when Batwoman showed up, right? We were all like, holy shit, she looks fucking perfect, right? That's, dude, Godspeed looks fucking perfect.
They have to bring him back for more, right? They didn't make this suit for a one-off.
Yeah, no, dude.
No, they didn't make it for a one-off, and they certainly didn't make it for her to solve the problem with a speedster her first try. It took Barry how goddamn long?
Let's not just talk about speedster. Fucking Godspeed.
Fair.
There's no way she solves this first try.
Exactly. He's got to come back, and it's probably going to take Barry and Nora combining forces, hell, if not with Thawne, to make it happen. But, I don't know if I'd go as far as I think it's the best.
What's the best suit, then?
No, don't get me wrong. I really like it.
No, what is your idea of the best suit?
My favorite one, maybe not the best, but my favorite one is Reverse Flash.
See, I think Zoom's even better than Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I like Zoom.
I would go Godspeed, Zoom, Reverse Flash.
Savitar.
See, I didn't like Savitar. I like the Barry suits better.
Yeah.
See, I like Savitar. I like when they made it a practical suit. I think that's when it was better.
Yeah, but...
But Godspeed for sure is by far the best.
You know, and XS, the suit, actually, you know, Nora's suit.
Her suit's actually pretty good.
You know, cool. Especially comic book wise.
Yeah.
You know, it's close. I would say Black Flash.
Okay, yeah. Black Flash was cool.
I'll tell you what costume I didn't care for.
Okay.
Was Kid Flash.
Yeah, but that was even accurate.
Doesn't matter.
It's just because Wally was in it, right?
No, I think it was the pant.
The weird pant top combo.
Yeah, jacket combo. It looked like
that makes sense.
An EFX or whatever those companies are. Yeah. Motorcycle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Armor, not necessarily a superhero suit.
Can I tell you guys that it never ceases to amaze me that they have a new character show up, right? And they just change the lightning around them, and I think it looks cool. Like
white lightning.
Yeah, the white lightning is cool looking. Like, I don't know why, but I agree with Bob. This suit, I'm looking at it right now. This suit is like it's like they pulled it straight from the comic book, man. It's so perfect.
So, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room?
Okay.
Go ahead, sir. You're the one who found the damn boner pictures.
Yeah. Do you like his boner? His cod piece?
Wait, hold on.
You don't really see it. You don't really see it.
You don't see
it
in live. It's the stills here.
Yeah.
I'll find it and I'll paste it in.
Yeah, please. Because I don't.
Go ahead, Steve. Talk about it while I'm looking
When they released the stills to promote the episode, everybody on the internet started freaking out about his boner. And because, you know, it has a cod piece. It's not something we haven't seen before, but it, I guess.
And the white and the shading of the light.
It just pronounced it a little bit
more.
Looks
like he's got a big old dong.
Right, whatever, but when you see it in the episode, you don't see that.
I'm not looking at his dick.
Sure.
Like, clearly you are.
Well, they didn't, like, run him into the camera dick first. That would have been...
That would have been funny as fuck.
Oh, jeez.
Dong speed.
Oh, my God.
The, sorry, I'm still looking for the pictures.
Dong speed.
It was so weird because Steve pointed that out a good, what, 2 or 3 days before the actual episode came out.
And be on the lookout for this guy's dick.
Well, it was an article. I mean,
I found it.
Okay, you put it in the notes.
Put it in the notes so I can click on it, because I never saw it.
But it was just a weird thing that I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to have like this huge dong piece this whole time?
A dong piece.
And it didn't look anything like it. And I was kind of confused.
Here's your first... Oh, God, crotch. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let's see here. Let me just...
Let me be the expert on God crotches.
That doesn't look weird to me at all. Why is that so weird to people?
Because somebody doesn't like tidy whities, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God. But I think you're right, Bobby. There's no way they do this and he doesn't come back.
Transition.
I transitioned out of the dong because it's not there, dude.
It looks like a Ken doll.
Yeah, he's just flat, dude. That means, clearly he has a dance belt on under that thing, so his junk isn't fucking all over the place.
Yeah, he probably, maybe he wants it to look like he's got bigger junk.
That's not what a dance belt does, dude.
It's not like a stripper thing, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's not what Jesus Christ.
It's a stunt cock.
Oh, my. All right. Anyways.
It's a cool looking transition. Costume.
Yeah,
It's a cool looking costume. I like the way the mouth doesn't exist, kind of like how
Zoom.
Zoom doesn't have the mouth. I dig that part about it. It makes it a little creepy, a little scary, and I like how it has a scowl kind of built into the brow.
What I was worried about was I thought we were going to get an animated suit based on the stills.
How so? Like animated?
Like Savitar was.
Like Savitar was. Oh. Not an actual suit.
CGI'd in.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get a CGI suit because the stills don't do it justice compared to what it looked like on screen.
See, what I thought about this was it's like, okay, let's build up. I thought we were going to have, another one of the seasons beforehand where it's like you build up this one villain and then 4 episodes, like, boom, here's the real villain.
Right.
And that's what I thought.
Or he comes in at the last minute and now it's a cliffhanger and shit. Now I got to wait a whole summer.
Yeah. But at the same time, like I said, I don't see them bringing him in for no fucking reason, right?
He's coming back.
He has to, right? I mean,
I don't think you can leave a character like this just like out in the wind, I guess.
It just seems like it's
this is not a throwaway bad guy like we've seen dozens of in the past.
Yeah, you can't just.
Well, the funny thing is,
he's not the villain of the week.
They've done that before. They did it with like Trajectory. They did it with some of the other speedsters. And I just hope they don't.
Godspeed.
I understand. I'm just hoping they don't do it with this one.
It would really be a bummer, dude. I would really be bummed out.
Did you guys suspect when she was in the museum that the guy that brushed past her was him?
No, fucking clue.
Really?
I didn't even look at the dude's face, dude.
Really?
I don't look at background characters, bro.
When. His vibe, he gave off the creepy vibe. I immediately was like, he's a bad guy, and sure as shit. I didn't know it was him that it would turn out to be, but your spidey sense wasn't tingling with that guy?
Why are you reviewing, like, big motion pictures, dude? You're like you're like Godspeed of the show, dude.
Bob, tell me you saw that guy and thought something was up with
him. Did not think anything was up.
Really?
Yeah, dude, I don't look at shit like that.
You don't profile people like that?
No, I'm not a fucking racist.
He's not.
He was Mexican.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
You racist piece of shit,
it has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with...
Oh, that guy's in the Flash Museum, and he doesn't have a broom, and he's Mexican.
He's a janitor.
He's totally
out of place. He's gotta be a bad guy. Fucking gotta be a bad guy.
He's gotta be a bad guy.
It's not about...
That guy doesn't have chalupas or anything.
Oh, my God.
What's he doing here?
Hey, where are your tortillas?
Now, that's racist. What is your racist? That's racist. No, I'm saying
it's... ¿Dónde está el baño?
Biblioteca.
There's a library there?
Yeah, it's a museum. There's probably a library in there somewhere.
I'm just saying, it's not about skin color. It's about body language and behavior.
What was his body language, Steve?
Mexican.
It's not like he was dancing like exactly, like Speedy Gonzales.
He didn't have a sombrero on, so he couldn't profile him more, right?
Oh, my God.
Fucking racist.
That's
dude.
Not racist.
I can't believe you're so racist, Steve.
Wow, Steve.
Especially a blonde hair, blue eye, Aryan looking motherfucker.
Now, that's not fair.
That's your fault.
Yeah.
That's it's my fault that I have genetics.
Well, guess what? We're profiling two racists.
Oh my God. That might be the best segment we've done on the show in a while.
God damn it.
dude, it's you literally backed yourself into a corner on that one.
He gave off bad vibes.
Yeah. He had this weird chalupa vibe to him, and I don't know, man. It was just weird.
Actually, if he had a chalupa vibe, that'd be good. Give me a chalupa.
Oh, my God.
I only trust Mexicans behind a short order grill.
Or a roach coach. One of the two. What is wrong with you, dude?
God, racist. What's
wrong with you two?
Nothing wrong with us. Because we clearly didn't see the guy being a bad guy. Fucking shithead.
Then you're terrible detectives. Both of you are fired.
Oh, my God, dude. Wow. Wow.
You're terrible.
We're going to have a boycott here on you on this show.
Yeah.
There's going to be tumblers all over the place.
So how big do you want the wall to be, Steve?
Oh, shit. At least 45 foot tall or what?
I'm anti-wall, but that's a different story.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I'm anti-wall and more pro-alligator pit.
Yeah, give me a moat, motherfucker. Alligator pit.
Jesus, that's savage. Right. Anyways, let's talk about actual Godspeed's origin here. Godspeed's original identity is August Hart. Oh, weird. It's not like Felipe.
Augusto.
Felipe Gutierrez. Anyways, he works with Barry and his friend. He is struck by lightning from a Speed Force storm and helps Barry to gather a team of past criminals who are now speedsters. After a while, he wants to use his powers in a new mission, which is becoming the fastest speedster of them all.
By injecting himself with methamphetamine.
With Taco Bell hot sauce?
These pepper made me faster. Yeah, they do that in Fortnite right now.
You eat the little pepper.
Andale.
Oh, my God. Great.
Oh, man.
This jalapeno. And you just hear him running away. Orale, vato!
I'm Vatos Locos forever.
You will never catch me, Barry. Orale, chingazo, no way.
I wish they would have went that direction with Godspeed.
Just fucking Mexican hat dance, fucking speedster.
Yeah, oh, man. They should have.
Is he going to have his friend fucking slowpoke too?
He went slowpoke, Rodriguez.
He went that way.
Oh, my God.
I would watch it.
Of course,
he just starts painting.
Of course, you would watch it because we watched it when we were six.
I know.
And it was racist then.
It was good then and it was good now, God damn it.
He starts painting his suit. One arm's green, the other one's red, and he's just white down the middle.
Running like a fucking with a luchador mask on.
Yes. He basically is wearing a luchador mask if you think about it.
He is.
I've pretty much seen Rey Mysterio in the six-man costume.
Just throw a poncho on him and it's done.
Oh, man, what is wrong with you?
Just Mexican flag lightning.
Every time he runs, instead of lightning, it's just tacos come flying out of his suit.
Like Rocket League, where there's just crazy shit coming out of the back.
Oh, my God. All right. Jesus. Now we have no more followers in Brazil.
Portuguese and fucking Mexicans are completely different. They don't even understand what I said in Spanish.
Spanish and Portuguese.
I almost snorted right there.
So dumb.
Stop. I almost spit out my fucking Gatorade. All right. I think I had a little tear in my eye there.
You dropped my eye.
Because it was spicy?
That's racist.
That's not racist, Snoop Dogg.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, the teardrop tattoos and...
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, but all seriousness, we do want this to come back, though, right? Like, we want this to...
I think this shows what an actual speedster does for the show. Like, a villain speedster.
I think you're right, Bob. I think the last, one that we felt was a threat was Zoom, right?
Or Savitar.
But then
it was Emo Barry.
It was Emo Barry,
yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any...
Which there's something poetic about that Barry's worst enemy is himself.
Yeah, but even still, Emo? I don't know, man.
Worked in Spider-Man, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man 3, what a thriller.
No, I
it's on the top 10 of everybody's list.
Yeah, best superhero movie ever.
Spider-Man 3. Number one with the bullet. First thing that comes to mind, Topher Grace.
Ugh.
Quality.
Horrible.
I agree with you guys. I think when you have a speedster, that's what Flash is all about. The villain of the weeks are fun, but at the end of the day, Flash does the best when he's up against someone that's of equal stature or powers, same as, you know, any classic superhero archetype.
It makes it better, right?
Yeah,
I agree. I definitely want him to come back. I just feel like, you know, it has to be done right. And clearly he has to be there for a reason. I don't want the whole build up this villain or build up someone and then all of a sudden this other villain shows up. I don't really like that.
Well,
I think it's shitty writing, to be honest.
What we didn't get closure on, the fact that when Barry dropped Nora off and then you think that he leaves, but the next scene he's in there with Thawne. Right. One, I got a couple questions. One, how did he know where Thawne was all of a sudden?
And the book.
Okay. And two, the book must have told him what was up with the clock then, because we still don't know what's up with the clock.
He didn't know the clock until he said something. Or no, the book was part of that too. Because, okay, so the weird thing is, if you look at the storytelling, because I was like, why is this an Nora-centric episode? And you think about at the beginning, they show the diary, and he says, read it from the beginning.
Yep.
And so you're basically getting a Princess Bride type vibe
here,
where you're getting the story told as the reader. So they're reading through, and she's writing in the book that there's a clock, that he was taking his final meal. You know, all that stuff that we're seeing through her eyes is basically the storyteller.
Yeah.
The way in my head canon, was that Barry was deducing this just based on the book and everything that they've learned over the hour.
Well, they still didn't.
As they sat there and listened to story time.
But they didn't tell us what the countdown was. I guess we just kind of have to assume that they're going to.
It's his execution.
It's either his execution or the wraith, the time wraith is coming for him.
Ooh. I think it's more the. Well, yeah, I think we said that before, but now that he's getting tortured and all that other stuff, and like
it's probably
the last meal came, I think it's more of an execution.
Yeah, that would make sense.
What kind of fucked up people are running this prison where they're just going in and electrocuting him?
You realize who he is, right?
I get that, but that's justice now?
You're right, dude. Jeffrey Dahmer should just fucking hang out.
Or that asshole that threw the 5-year-old kid off the fucking balcony Minnesota should be fucking living.
No, he should be thrown off a balcony, but that's a different story.
It's the reverse Flash. It's Eobard Thawne, probably one of the biggest bad guys in the Arrowverse. Like, dude, I don't give a fuck if he's getting electrocuted or not.
All right, so then the last question I had, which Thawne kind of alluded to it when he first met Nora and said, you know, because he figured out she was a speedster because the soles of her feet were worn.
Right.
When she takes off running and he's telling her to vibe through the wall and she's like, oh, I can't do it, you know, and Godspeed's chasing her. At last I checked, she was not wearing any special material clothes to keep her clothes from frying the fuck off.
That's not canon anymore.
Oh.
Because we've seen
talked
them,
about like
we've seen them run lately without that bullshit. I
Barry
think that's
does
a season
it.
One.
I just have a headcanon thing where it's like when Barry does it, he clearly has special clothes made for him.
But she didn't because she had just learned
about
her powers.
Yeah, but she lives in 2049, dude.
Oh, so Nike's got some cool new fiber.
You go to fucking H&M and probably get some super cool fiber
pants. No, there's no way. Things get worse as we get older, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, the quality is garbage.
Because they want you to rebuy stuff. There's no way they're making super-powered fucking shoes for people.
No, they want to get that coin. Everything has planned obsolescence. And if there was ever a case where I wanted to see clothes burn off, it was this one.
You can watch
fucking...
Because
you can't Google her naked, dude. Google it, dude.
Do you have a Star subscription? She's on that pirate show, naked.
Titties and everywhere, just scissoring.
Full merkin.
Just full scissor, just
full merkin.
Gina to Gina, dude.
Full-blown merkin.
You guys see the photo I posted in the notes? It's totally Godspeed.
Oh my God, it is. It's just the colors are inversed.
It's Sin Cara, dude.
That shit's funny.
That is, anyways, I think the whole overall Godspeed, his look was awesome. The way he showed up was awesome. He has to come back for more. This can't, like we all said, it can't be a throwaway, you know, villain. I think it's stupid if you throw this away because it's a speedster. It's someone who at one point in the comic books had this huge presence. excuse me. he has to come back in some capacity. If he's next year's villain or something, he's got to come back. So, but I think the biggest thing was the diary for me, like that whole diary scene with them actually, you know, with the time, you know, timeline is malleable, and they finally, like, you know, that was a huge scene, because we've been trying to decipher that fucking diary for how long now?
Well, and like I was saying before, it's just the way they told the story, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think they read the whole thing, or you think they just got to the part where they needed to and then they stopped?
Well, they had to have read most of it. I mean,
you didn't like read like the beginning, or it's like, I found masturbation.
She's writing it. Just the masturbation symbols are just like all these circles with like a squiggly line going through it. Get it?
Oh, I get it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the way they did that was actually really cool.
It was Princess Bride.
Was it like a flash forward? Yeah,
Princess Bride. Yeah. It was told through the book.
All right, let's get into our final thoughts of the episode. Steve, why don't you go first?
I think this is one of the best payoffs we've had in a while, for as long as they've drawn this out. Just wonderful storytelling, wonderful writing by the writing crew, and you know, for Danielle coming in and making her directorial debut, I thought she did an exceptional job. You know, she's been on the series now for 5 seasons, and she's been, you know, on shows prior to this. She did a good job. I think that's good for her, and they knocked it out of the park. There was a good payoff.
All right.
And I do like the White Lightning. I don't disagree.
Okay.
Racist. Oh, my God.
Would you rather them do like a red, white, and green lightning? Or maybe like he has a sombrero and it comes off of his sombrero as he's running? Or how would you like them to do that, Steve? I'm just curious.
I'm not even going to dignify that.
No, I actually agree. I think this was a really good episode. And I think if we went back and like ourselves that was reviewing episode 5 and we said, oh, episode, you know, 18 is going to be a Nora eccentric episode, we'd have been like, oh, fuck, here we go. But I really did like this episode. I thought it was really well thought out. I think Godspeed's appearance was super duper cool. And just overall, I think seeing Nora before she realized that she was a speedster was actually cool too. You know, like, oh, you know, I'm a nobody. My dad was a nobody. You know, my mom, you know, wrote about the Flash, and that was pretty much it. And I think like it was nice to see her kind of be in her own element in 2049, instead of being like what we see now, like what we've seen her be, that naive kid. Mm-hmm. So it was actually interesting to see that. I do enjoy Sherlock in this episode. I thought that it was high and tide that he kind of dropped that bomb on everyone. I thought it was really fucking shitty that that was the one thing I disliked about this episode, but I think they wrote it that way.
I actually liked, I didn't like him getting shit on, but I liked how they wrote the scene.
Yeah.
The one thing I did not care for at all was Nora's friend, and I was glad she got phased through.
I actually don't disagree with
that
one.
She sucked.
Yeah, she was kind of shitty. But overall, this was a
bad when your death is like celebrated. Yay!
Overall, I really thought this was a really, really good episode, and I'm looking forward to the next 4. Bobby, what about you?
I really got nothing to add. You guys covered it all.
All right.
I mean, I think we're good.
All right. Well, in that case, guys, that'll do it for today's DC on RMD, the Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes through DCOnRMD.com. And also follow us on Twitter.
Twitter, Facebook,
yeah,
Instagram. They're all changed. Yeah. The DC on RMD.
Yep.
Go find us.
Yep. Thank you, Bobby, for...
No problem. You're struggling.
Thank you. I appreciate that. With that, guys, we'll see you next week.
People want cuddles!